Well, I think the time has come. It is 9 o'clock, and the microphone is on, and I think it's time to get started. So welcome to the adult equipping class. Appreciate you all being here. I'm excited to be here to share again today on a topic that we find throughout Scripture, the topic of prayer, right? Being able to communicate with our Creator, the Creator and Sustainer of the universe, wants to be in relationship with us, wants us to talk to Him. He wants to share with us. And what a wonderful privilege, but also tremendous responsibility that is on our part to be able to come before Him and worship Him and praise Him and think upon Him, to share with Him. And then prayer is not just one-sided, right? Prayer is about listening to what the Lord has to say to us. And there are lots of ways we can listen, and we'll share some of those as we go along. So thank you all for being here, week two on prayer. If that's not the class that you think you're in, I'm not sure where the other classes are. So I will open us in prayer, and then we'll talk a little bit about last week. So our Heavenly Father, what a blessing it is that we, your people, your children, Lord, can come into your presence anytime, anywhere, under any circumstance. Lord, you always have time for us. You are always available to us. Lord, forgive us for not taking advantage of that. We need to be in your presence, Lord. And that's part of why Jesus teaches us to pray. So Lord, this morning we come before you. May our hearts be humble. May we seek to exalt you and praise your name today, Lord. Thank you for listening to our requests and our petitions, Lord. Lord, change us. Make us into the men and the women that you want us to be. And may a big part of that start with us making and spending time at your feet in prayer, in the word, Lord. And may it be for your glory and your honor. Amen. Teach Us to Pray is the class. We're going to spend 7 weeks. This is week number two. The class idea is to provide encouragement for the prayer lives we all desire, right? Prayer is one of those things that should be ongoing in our life. It starts early in our Christian life, or for some you talk to, prayer begins even before becoming a believer, right? As we call out to God in moments of distress or moments of hard times, even for somebody who doesn't have that relationship. But prayer always should be changing. It should be morphing into something new, not necessarily something new, but something more as we spend time with the Lord. You have probably witnessed in your life and seen in other people's lives that prayer changes us, right? There's a process and a learning in prayer. In prayer, we never get to the point in prayer where we have come to its completion, at least not this side of heaven. And so for all of us, we need encouragement in our prayer life, for where our prayer life is now, and hopefully in looking to the future of where our prayer life needs to be or should be or where it can grow to next. The purpose of the class is to help any disciple, that's us, disciples of Jesus in particular, have a meaningful and consistent prayer life. All right? By number one, learning from the Scripture. And today we're going to spend some time in the Scripture. Today and next week, we're going to spend talking about the Lord's Prayer specifically in the New Testament. So we're going to spend a lot of time in Scripture. Number two, we're going to hear from seasoned disciples. Thank you so much last week to Lori Gaspar, who got up and shared a little bit about what prayer means in her life and what that has done for her praying with other moms, praying through the acts, the adoration, the confession, thanksgiving, supplication, and how that has been beneficial to her, and learning about God's character, God's name, His attributes in prayer and what that means for her in her prayer life. In the weeks to come, we're going to have other people up here to share as well. And then number three, we're going to address some common obstacles to prayers. That's going to be a couple of weeks from now in a future class. Possibly answering questions like, does God really hear our prayers? Or what happens when I pray and God doesn't answer my prayer, right? That's always a big one. Or, as Tom brought up last week, why do we pray at all? because God is sovereign. The Bible even tells us he knows what we ask before we ask him. So if that's the case, then why do we ask? Why do we go before him? And I think we're going to start to dig into that question, especially this morning, as we look at the first part of the Lord's Prayer. We talked about Elijah, right? A man who had powerful, effective, fervent prayer. He was a righteous man in the Old Testament who loved the Lord. He knew the Word of God. He was submitted to the Word, and he prayed according to the Word, right? That it would not rain, and it did not rain. He prayed fire from heaven down on the altar. He prayed again later that it would rain. He prayed over and over. God answered his prayer, and rain came upon the people. We also talked about the beginning of the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6, looking at the context of prayer. In Matthew chapter 6, where Jesus starts out talking about that when you do pray, you should not be like the hypocrites who stand on the street corner, but you should go up into your secret room and pray where the Lord will hear you. And when we seek the Lord that way, he rewards us. And we talked a little bit about how the reward that we get is God himself. It's not so much a material thing or a tangible thing that we can put our fingers or our hands on, but we get the Lord himself. And I just encourage you all, as you go through your prayer this week, think about what that means. Again, as we get to sit in the presence of our Creator and marvel on his name, to think about his will, about his kingdom, as we talk about this morning. And all of this stuff in Matthew chapter 6 sort of gets back to chapter 6, verse 1, where Jesus starts out, not starts out the Sermon on the Mount, but starts out this section of prayer. And he says, "Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven." So Jesus is saying, this stuff that I'm telling you, it's not about impressing others. Prayer is not standing in front of a group of people and having these eloquent words come out of your mouth so that when you finish and sit down, people think, wow, what a great prayer that person has. Prayer should point us to the Lord, right? And who he is and what he has done, and not focus on who we are. It's not about winning the approval or the praise of people around us. And it should be the same way with prayer. We talked about not babbling, not having vain repetitions, not saying the same thing over and over and over again. Not that we can't pray the same thing over again, like Jesus did in the Garden of Gethsemane. He prayed the same thing three times. But we need to make sure that in our prayer life, that our words have meaning. It's not just going through the motions, right? Because it's easy to go through the motions most of the time. But Jesus is teaching us that it's not about going through the motions. Questions, comments before we move on? Yes, sir.
One thing prayer is not is a good time to gossip. Lord, please bless Matthew because he never does comb his hair
right. Uh-oh. Did everybody hear that? Prayer is not about gossip. It's not about focusing on others necessarily, although it's good to pray together, right? And we'll talk about that a little bit for sure as the prayer starts out today. But it is. Sometimes we want to give information or we want to sound like we know something. And again, prayer is not, that's not what prayer is about. In the Sermon on the Mount, early in Jesus' ministry, he start. Yes, sir.
You have a question, man.
Oh, I was just going to say, I totally agree with the not repetition babbling, but I think sometimes we are so distraught or nervous, or our emotions have taken over our brain, kind of, that sometimes having a routine, memorized prayer calms your soul. That's the only way I can describe it. But that sometimes a very short sentence prayer, just repeated over and over, is a. You're truly praying. Your words have meaning, but you're really not in that type of prayer that we normally think of as prayer.
Yes. No.
I've had that experience with Janae. That when she is just in difficult situations. Having a short prayer that you can say has been amazingly helpful.
Yes, absolutely.
And the Lord gives us the Psalms, which, of course,
forward to read them again and again, and then we can pray them again and again, which is his own pattern for us.
Yes. Yes, and even with the Lord's Prayer, right? I mean, I started praying last week, and everybody jumped in and joined in the prayer, right? Because we know it. It's familiar to us. It's something that for some churches, every morning downstairs, not here, but at some churches where they do the Lord's Prayer together every day, and having that is definitely comforting and definitely important and plays a role in our lives. What I'm hoping to share this morning is the fact that if we're just saying it because we memorized it when we were about this old in school or in Sunday school, but we don't really think about what it means and that sort of thing, that we want to, Jesus is warning to be careful about that. Don't just say the words. But I definitely, in looking at other places in Scripture, agree that God's not saying that we can't come to him with the same thing. And I appreciate you sharing that because that is important. There are times we talked about things that hinder us in our prayers. Because there might be times when we don't feel like praying, or when we have bitterness in our heart, or we don't think God is hearing us, or we've been there over and over. And go ahead, Ron.
Well, just to add on to what Marilyn said, you know, when something is so heavy on your soul, it's like, how do we pray when we don't know what to say? Kind of thing. And we say, oh, Lord, I just don't have what. But you know, Lord, the Holy Spirit will intervene for us, but we know that.
Yes.
Yes.
For sure. Yeah, I would not want to discount that at all. And I don't think that's what Jesus is meaning here. But thank you. No, I appreciate that. I do. Early in Jesus' ministry, we find him giving the Sermon on the Mount. And we're going to find most of our text today out of Matthew chapter 6. You all are all familiar with the passage. I think it's neat that it's also found in Luke chapter 11. It would probably be a couple of years later that Jesus' disciples would come to Jesus and they would say, Lord, teach us to pray. And I find that interesting because they had spent some time with Jesus. They had seen him do, you look at the miracles in Luke that are recorded prior to them asking to pray, right? Jesus cast out demons. He had healed and brought back to life a dead boy. He had healed leprosy. He had forgiven sins. He had done all these things, healed a man whose hand was withered. And of all the things that the disciples had seen Jesus do, the thing in Luke that they latch on to is, Lord, teach us to pray. And I think part of that comes from the fact that Jesus had a very meaningful prayer life with his Father in heaven. Jesus, God himself, chose to take time in his life. And if anybody else had a busier 3 years on this earth than Jesus, I don't know who it is. Yet it was a priority for him. And we talked about that last week, how he would get up early in the morning and go to a solitary place, or he would leave his disciples that he could go and pray and spend time with the Father. And obviously we see some of that in the Garden of Gethsemane. We even know what his prayers are as he has revealed to us in the Scripture. But the disciples knew that was a priority for Jesus. They knew the importance of it. So they asked him, teach us to pray. And one of the things I love in looking at this is that Jesus didn't say, okay, you know what? You've been with me a couple of years. So now let's graduate on to the next part of the prayer, the real meaty depth of the prayer. No, he goes back and what does he do? Our Father in heaven, right? Like he goes back to Matthew chapter 6 where it's just like, all right, guys, take a deep breath. Let me remind you what I already told you. Right? Let's go back to the beginning. Let's go back to the basics. And so that's what we're going to do this morning as we look at Matthew chapter 6 as we find our text today. In verse 9 of Matthew chapter 6, Jesus speaking says, this then is how you should pray. How you should pray. Not necessarily what you should pray, although it could be what you pray, but how you pray. And I think this prayer is going to give us a model, words that can be spoken in unison, words that can be spoken